What would be Joe Biden's early moves to help household finances get through pandemic? I'm David Brancaccio. Good morning. Parallels between the presidential transition period 2008 and 12 years later here. Back then, George W. Bush was leaving, Barack Obama had won, and there was severe economic turbulence and a financial and mortgage crisis. 2020, severe economic turbulence and a health care crisis. Felicia Wong is a member of the Biden Transition Advisory Board, but is speaking to us this morning from her perspective as CEO of the liberal-leaning think tank, the Roosevelt Institute in New York.
Right away this week, the Biden team is going to name a pandemic task force. And interestingly, that'll be, of course, about public health, but it'll also have a lot of elements for economic strengthening. The Biden team wants to make sure that we can produce masks and PPE domestically. There's going to be a fund for state and local governments to prevent budget shortfalls, to help teachers, to help first responders, to keep those people employed, even in an economic crisis. They're talking about an emergency funding package for schools and small businesses so they can adapt to COVID. These are very immediate things that I think that task force will tackle right away.
But some of this has to be in cooperation with the, at least during the transition period, with the existing Senate run by Republicans. So can much really get done on spending stuff before the new Congress comes in?
It's a good question. I do think you're going to see real efforts very quickly, including before inauguration, on a kind of relief plan or a stimulus package. And I think that will include all the things I just mentioned. It'll also include stronger unemployment insurance. It'll include an improved mechanism for helping small businesses, maybe through rent relief, maybe through more funding to keep workers on payroll. And I think it will also include funding for state governments and for city governments, which, of course, are under such crisis. That crisis, that economic crisis, is only going to get worse as the winter wears on. Now, whether Republicans are going to come through and actually do this with Democrats is an important political question, but I think they are definitely incentivized to do that now that they know who is going to be in charge in Washington. And you're going to see a lot of red state governors wanting that funding, in addition, of course, to all state governors, blue state governors.
Felicia Wong is CEO of the Roosevelt Institute. Thank you very much.
Thank you, David.
And in addition to promises of early action on pandemic, the economy, civil rights, and climate change, expect a new head quite quickly of the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The U.S. Supreme Court this year awarded presidents the power to pick who runs the CFPB, an agency that was reined in during the Trump administration. Last week, with the presidential election clarifying, the stock market had its strongest week since April. This morning, with a new president-elect, things are up again, with the Dow future up 391 points, 1.4% now. The S&P future up in a similar range. The NASDAQ future up 1.8%. Here's Marketplace's Nova Safo.
Investors are buying up stocks this morning, betting on less uncertainty with a dash of divided government. Here in the U.S., the election is over, and investors who were betting on a protracted post-election fight, which would have meant more market volatility, are rebalancing, helping fuel a rally. The likelihood of divided Congress remains high, which could make for more moderate policymaking, palatable to both sides of the aisle. Across the Atlantic, the hope is for a more predictable foreign policy and potentially better trade relations and fewer tariffs. And some global investors are buying up bank and industrial stocks hammered during the pandemic, but that may be poised for a rebound should a COVID vaccine come by the end of the year. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
Bond yields are up. The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 0.87%, still pretty low. London's FTSE stock index is up 1.6%, Hong Kong up 1.2%. The vaccine development pair Pfizer and BioNTech just said that human testing shows its COVID vaccine candidate is more than 90% effective in preventing infection. The stock is up about 12% in pre-market trading. That's Pfizer's. BioNTech stock is up about 20% pre-market.
Thank you. With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
The IRS has designated tomorrow as National Registration Day for economic impact payments. These are the $1,200 a person pandemic relief checks the government's been sending out since April to help people through this COVID economy. Millions still have not received those stimulus checks because the IRS doesn't have their payment information, and there's a hard deadline approaching. File or lose the money. Marketplace's Justin Ho has more.
The IRS has been using tax return data to automatically send individuals their $1,200 relief checks. But people with little or no income aren't required to file tax returns. Leandra Letterman is a professor of tax law at Indiana University.
Part of the concern is just simply the government not necessarily having the records of every person who's entitled to get a payment.
The Center on Budget and Policy Priorities estimates that roughly 12 million people in the U.S. aren't eligible to receive their payments automatically. But Chris Cox, the group's senior tax policy analyst, says it's vital that those people know they're still entitled to relief aid.
Getting money into the hands of very low-income people is one of the highest bang for the buck policies you can have during a recession.
The IRS says it sent letters to nearly 9 million so-called non-filers, urging them to register so they can receive their checks. The deadline to do that is November 21st. I'm Justin Ho for Marketplace.
And 54,000 old Volvos will get recalled after airbag shrapnel killed a man. It's some models from 2001 through 2003, and the airbag inflator in question is made by ZFTRW. Now, this is a different company from Takata, the center of a massive recall of cars with airbags. Those have been in the news since 2014. As of this year, 16 million of those cars remain on the road unrepaired. We're from APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.